5 years ago, a 13-year-old Pakistani girl named Kaniat accused four men of gang raping her. Instead of punishing the alleged perpetrators, her village's council of elders ordered that she be killed. But Kaniat and her family have fought ever since to save her life and convict the alleged rapists. A Frontline documentary called Outlawed in Pakistan, directed by Hilke Shelman and Habiba Nosheen, tells the story of Kaniat's court battles and highlights some of the flaws of Pakistan's legal system. It airs on PBS stations tonight at 10 p.m. I'm very pleased to welcome Hilke Shelman and Habiba Nosheen to our show today. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, thank you for having us.
How did you find out about this story? Was it reported in the Pakistani press?
We initially found out through the Human Rights Commission of Pakistan. We were in Pakistan just as reporters looking for interesting stories to tell, and that was sort of the only commitment that we had gone there with. And we contacted the Human Rights Commission, and they said, you got to meet this person.
And you met her, I'm assuming, in Karachi, not in her home village.
Mm-hmm.
But they're from what part of Pakistan?
They're from the interior Sindh, a little village called Meha in the district of Dadu, which is about 3 hours north, roughly east of Karachi. And the family told us that they were threatened by people in their community, and that's why they left the village and moved to Karachi and was, you know, living in hiding, basically, or trying to live in hiding. And they feared for their lives when we met them.
Well, the village is under tribal jurisdiction. How does that work? Aren't there national laws?
There are national laws, and it's not a formal justice system. And in Pakistan, that's one of the interesting things you find, because the justice system is so slow and expensive and not exactly efficient. A lot of people opt to solve their issues internally through their own tribal councils, which are informal. There's no legal bearing of that decision. But it does have serious consequences for the lives of people living in that village.
Well, originally, wasn't Pakistan under some version of British law changed by Zia-ul-Haq when he came to power?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why if you look at in the books, some of the laws in place to punish people for a crime of rape are actually pretty good. They're not necessarily bad. It's just that what happened over time is that the laws stayed the same, but there is no sort of either it's competing now with the informal tribal justice system or it's competing with the Sharia law. And whenever there is a conflict of between two sets of laws, the courts then decide with the Sharia law.
But Sharia law doesn't say if somebody has been raped, she should be then killed.
Absolutely not. No, it doesn't say that. But
so how did the Council of Elders arrive at their decision to punish not the alleged rapist, but Kaniat, the victim?
This is what the family told us, that this is what they said happened to them and what the decision of the tribal elders was. The general perception of women who speak out about rape in Pakistan or say that they've been raped is that it tarnishes their name more than it tarnishes the name of or the reputation of the men who have been accused. And that you see across board, not just in Kainat's case, but in other cases as well. To speak of rape is so shameful that if you do end up speaking about rape, that is seen to affect more your reputation.
And she is spoiled. That's the victim.
That's the argument.
So then the family is expected to carry out this execution?
I mean, that's what the brother very adamantly shared with us, that that people told him that he should kill his sister.
Honor killing, in effect.
Yes, that she has tarnished the family's honor and that he was supposed to kill her, and he refused, and the father refused, and they're very, they say, we are educated people, we don't believe in this tribal system, and we'll take this case to court and get the alleged rapist punished.
Was that an unusual response? Would other people have killed this 13-year-old kid who didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah, I think it definitely happens that you have cases of honor killing. What's more usual in most of these cases is silence. Nobody actually does anything about it. Like a family would be, the expectation is a family would be better off not to say anything about the rape or that the woman has even been raped. So there are a lot of efforts made by the family and about by the victim themselves often to sort of shy away from talking about that incident has happened. That's more of the common response to rape in Pakistan.
So the family moved to Karachi as a way of protecting itself,
yeah.
Although you say that they have to live in semi-secrecy because somebody might still come and avenge themselves on this family for defending their daughter?
Yeah, I mean, their case is pretty high profile, but, you know, they say that they've constantly been attacked in their homes. Their life is in danger, and we see that in the film itself as well. They do live in under constant fear, and as you watch in the film, you'll also see people telling us that they, if Kainat does something that tarnishes their honor, they plan to kill her. And, you know, one of the family members of the accused said to me, there will be murders over this.
You've spoken to both sides of this story. Were the defenders of the accused open with you?
Yeah, they were very open speaking to our team. They had no problems. They feel that they've been wrongly accused, and they are also on a quest to clear their names. So they were very open, and they also shared their opinions with us. They said, like, why isn't she sitting at home silently? Why is she speaking about this? We are big businessmen. We could have even paid her money. Why is she doing this? I mean, they're kind of consternated, and I think you see some of the cultural ramifications, what's expected of many women in Pakistan.
Are they denying that they raped her?
They adamantly deny that.
But she, of course, wouldn't just come up with the names of some people. And you say these are prominent people in the village?
I mean, one of the men especially is a prominent member of the village, and the other are related to him through circles.
My guests are Habiba Nosheen and Hilke Shelman. Their film, Outlawed in Pakistan, will be screened tonight on Channel 13 here locally and PBS stations around the country. It's at 10 o'clock tonight. How does this family support itself? They must have incredible legal expenses.
Well, they were really lucky that there are actually non-for-profit organizations on the ground that are helping them, like the Human Rights Commission, War Against Rape. So they were able to get a little bit of money from them to help them. But they also shared with us that they're fearful for their sons and the father to leave the house as well. So what the women are doing now, they're doing embroidery to make a little bit of money. But that's what they shared with us.
Their attorney is pro bono, which I think has been a huge help for them.
And is there a growing women's movement in Pakistan?
I would say so. I actually, as a Pakistani and someone who's sort of watched the evolution of women's rights in Pakistan, I would say absolutely. I mean, you see that in the film, you know, her lawyer saying that, you know, a decade, 2 decades or 3 decades ago, you wouldn't see a public sort of display of enragement by women who say that they've been raped. It was sort of silence, and now you're seeing a shift of that. So I do think that the attitudes are changing, even though it's very slow.
But this is also not unique to Pakistan. We've seen any number of rapes in India as well. So you can't even say it's because of Sharia law, because in the Indian cases, it's involved mostly Hindus. Is there a culture?
Absolutely.
Is there a culture that that's endemic to the Indian subcontinent that says women are easy prey?
I mean, I think what it is that, you know, there's certainly rapes in the United States, and there's sexual violence against women all over the world. I think what's more of a problem in South Asia is that that often sexual violence gets blamed on the women, that it's her fault. And so there is a big culture of silence, and the women's reputation is tarnished, and there is some, there is also a systematic lack of investigation of sex crimes in courts, and that makes it really hard to even go to court. And I think that might be the difference. Though I do want to say that in the U.S., you still have remnants of victim blaming as well. That you say, like, why was she out at night? And you know, it's on a continuum, but South Asia is definitely has a bigger problem.
Well, in India and in Pakistan, there have been complaints that the police just ignore these cases. Is that what happened when she originally reported it?
Absolutely. I mean, I spoke to the police officer myself, and he just said, look, I can tell by looking at a woman if she's lying or not, and I could tell by looking at her she wasn't raped. So that's that. That's it. You know, I was annoyed that there was
13-year-old kid just made this up.
That was his take on it. So absolutely, you know, the lack of willingness by the police to give the anyone who's coming up with a complaint to just give them a fair shot it's definitely lacking.
Has the fact that this has gotten a lot of media attention and outraged a lot of women throughout Pakistan, has that emboldened other young women to come out with similar stories?
I think so. I think that you are seeing more and more of a public sort of forum where women are speaking out to the media as a way to push their case forward and to demand that the government hear their grievances.
And what has been the response of the government in Islamabad? Any?
I mean, in terms of this particular case?
Yeah, it's gotten media attention. Somewhere down the line, somebody from the Department of Justice or the equivalent has to say, well, we're looking into it and we consider this a serious problem.
I think she got a lot of support from a lot of politicians, which you do see in the film. Prominent politicians had come out to support her throughout her legal battle, and currently the case is in appeal. So, you know, from both sides, what I've heard is that there's no denying that ultimately this case will go to the Supreme Court of Pakistan.
Well, what are the risks for this family if the alleged rapists are never sentenced, never convicted?
I mean,
will the Pakistani government protect this family?
Well, the interesting thing is, in this rare case, Kainat currently now lives under police protection. That is surprising for a place like Pakistan. But currently, she can't leave her house, or she doesn't leave her house without police protection.
And could Kainat and her family go into exile? Would that be the best option for them?
You would have to ask them.
But they right now, they're staying to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are very determined to fight with their daughter and take this all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Well, you've spoken to them. I'd imagine that there are times when they are feeling rather discouraged.
Yes, and they talk about that. And I mean, in one interview, kind of shared with us that, you know, she wished not all of this harm would have happened to her family, and she feels really sorry all of this happening. But I think that almost made them more determined, all these threats to the family, to actually keep fighting, because that's all they have left. I mean, that's kind of what they shared with us, that they had to leave their house, their jobs behind, and this is all they have, this quest to fight for justice.
Has the worldwide media attention had much of an impact on the situation back in Kainat's village?
I think most of the attention has been within Pakistan. I you know, this is sort of, this would be probably one of the first, you know, film that highlights the struggle and what the case looked like on the ground and the complications in the case.
Well, you said right now it's on appeal. Had they been convicted?
No.
No.
So the appeal is
by the family, of Kainat's family.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's likely that they are going to be found guilty?
You know, the justice system in Pakistan is very unpredictable. But we do know that what's going to make this case very challenging to win is the lack of evidence that was collected throughout the case and throughout the investigation.
Because the police didn't believe her. So
yeah. And there was no DNA testing done, even though there were traces of sperm found in her. They said, yeah, you know, we found traces of sperm, but that was never sent to a lab to test who that sperm belonged to. So because of the lack of evidence, what ends up happening in Pakistan when a case does go to court, it really ends up being a he said, she said situation. And it's hard to convict anybody in any country based on just that.
But also, judge didn't believe Kainat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he actually did say that that he thinks she... This came out of her fantasy because she accused the father and son of gang raping her, and that's not possible in the country of Pakistan.
Possible for a father and son to both rape somebody?
He thinks Pakistan hasn't morally went down that path. So he said in his judgment, he wrote that is not possible. So he thinks her story is her fantasy.
Now, if they found these men guilty, what would the sentence be? Isn't the death penalty?
You are up for, if that's a possible max sentence is the death penalty. But let me tell you, that's very rare because the burden of proof is so high for a death sentence, and the investigation is just not there to convince a judge without a reasonable doubt that this happened.
But they imposed a death sentence on Kainat.
But it's not through the legal channel, so.
It's an informal justice system, so it's not recognized by the courts.
How common is that? Is it something that you might have found in other villages as well if you had looked into it, done enough investigation?
Absolutely. We did look into this, and informal justice systems exist all over Pakistan, and this is sort of one example of it, but they also take on cases like theft and robbery. Okay, you stole my cattle. What do we do, you know, to compensate you for that?
Do the people of Pakistan feel that the world is beating up on them?
Absolutely. And to a certain extent, that is true. As a Pakistani, I think that one of the things we don't want is to not speak up about issues that are important just because we're worried that the world is beating up on us.
Habiba Nosheen and Hilke Shelman, their film Outlawed in Pakistan. It is on PBS stations tonight at 10 p.m. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.